Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship, where we love you enough to tell you the truth. This program will feature the second study in our series on the Signs and Wonders Movement and is titled Tongues, the Decline During Transition. Our first study settled the purpose of speaking in tongues with a survey of the book of Acts on the subject. This second study will deal with the manner in which that original purpose ended and the practice of speaking in tongues came to an end, just as the New Testament books were completed and all of the apostles departed and went home to be with the Lord. In this study, our survey will cover the passages dealing with tongues in the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look specifically about the gift of speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Hannah, I'm going to have you start. We're going to read in verse 28 through 31. One question that we're going to answer is, does everybody or should everybody speak in tongues? Because that's what a lot of Christians teach and believe. Should every Christian speak in tongues? Hannah, go ahead and start verse 28.
And God hath sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues.
Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles?
Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Are these workers of all?
I covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
So the question, do all Christians or should all Christians speak in tongues? Now, there are a lot of dishonest people who read this and still say yes. Any honest person dealing honestly with the Word of God reads this. It clearly is saying that not all. Now, look at verse 29. Are all apostles? Answer? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing?
No.
Well, then do all speak with tongues?
No.
Not all Christians are going to speak in tongues. We're just going to settle that right now. So, those who teach that tongues have anything to do with salvation, unbiblical and heretical. Those who teach all Christians speak in tongues and should, false. We've established that biblically. There's no question to it. And as Charlie read, we are to covet earnestly the best gifts. And what he's suggesting here is that tongues isn't necessarily the best gift. And he's going to actually say that in a minute. But let's turn over now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And Jenny, read verse 1.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
Now, there's one thing that we see right away, and that is you can go around claiming to speak in tongues and even speak in tongues. And if you don't have love, or the biblical word is charity, because biblically the word love is a verb, it's active, something you not only feel, but something you do. And if you don't, then you're like, how many of you ever, when you were kids, you remember when you was babies, did you like to get under your in the kitchen and get your mom's pots and pans out and bang on them or anything like that? Serenity? That explains a lot. Now, when babies do that, it's cute. But if Kayla were to crawl in there and grab Jenny's pans and sit on the kitchen floor clanging around on them, we would tell her to stop it. That's a noise. Well, even if you were to speak with tongues, that would be nothing but noise if you're not doing it with a heart of love and if you don't live with a heart of love. And we've talked about what true love is. True love is you preach the gospel. True love is you serve the Lord. True love is you love your family. You do what's right by your family. You don't go out and gamble all the money away or drink all the money away, and you don't go running around all the time. And you do what's right because you love God and love your family and love your friends and love your church family. And if you don't, then And that's what you got. You got people running around claiming to speak in tongues and have all these gifts, but there's no evidence of love in a lot of those folks and in their lives. They think they've got something special because they can untie my bow tie and who stole my Honda stuff. But they don't show the evidence of love in their life. All right, now look at verse 1 again before we move on. Is number one, the Bible doesn't say that the tongues of angels are some unknown language that no one knows. When the angels came to earth, they spoke languages. They didn't speak English. They spoke the language of the people they were talking to. Hebrew, of course, but Aramaic, evidently in the book of Daniel. Koine Greek, whatever the case may be. Koine Greek just means it was the common man's language, Greek. That's what Paul is referring to here, is the tongues of men and of angels. And though I could speak in all the tongues that men and angels speak, and I have not love, then I'm nothing but a noisy clanging of the, he says, a cymbal. This is just something that I've seen as a trend among these folks in these movements, these signs and wonders churches. They generally tend toward greed and self-worship. Word faith, I gotta have it, I deserve it, I'm a child of the King, therefore I will. That kind of thing. That's not love. Those who love God should submit themselves and present their bodies as a living sacrifice and not demand anything of God. That's true love. Also, you see in these churches, a lot of them teach a loveless legalism. A lot of the churches, the apostolics, for example, I mean, you and well, all the women in this room are going to hell. Because if you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't wear jeans or makeup or ever cut your hair. But that's a whole denomination. United Pentecostal Churches of America, UPC, the Oneness Pentecostal, they deny the Trinity and they teach this. And that's what these churches tend towards. Even those who aren't into that kind of legalism, they still very seldom do they teach security and assurance of salvation. They are very much a works-based, legalistic type of, I'm working my way to heaven. But you know what, Charlie? That's why it's important we talk about this. Because there's been kids like you raised to believe that you're saved by faith, but then you get out and go to a college or go on to get a job and you befriend somebody who goes to one of these churches and they start telling you this stuff and they make you doubt whether or not you're even saved. And that's why we need to know these things. We need to stand firm on the gospel and to be able to deflect those darts from the devil that would rob us of our joy, as Jenny's saying, the joy of our salvation. Now let's look in chapter 14. I want to look at another.
I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except ye inherit that the church may receive as ye sing.
Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine?
Very interesting passages there. The apostle is clearly telling us that if someone speaks in tongues just for the sake of showing off, it's of no profit to anybody. Notice he said, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. That was specifically during the time of the apostles. What you will find and what we're going to see is after the book of 1 Corinthians, this issue doesn't even come up. And I mentioned in the last study we had on this, 27 New Testament books and only two from Acts on through Revelation, only two, Acts and 1 Corinthians, discuss this issue. Keep in mind that during the time that Paul is writing this, there's no New Testament. During the time that Paul is teaching this and writing this to the church in Corinth, there is no New Testament. So at that time, God was still giving people prophecy and speaking in tongues and revelation and doctrine by supernatural means because they didn't have a book. The only thing the church of Corinth had, when they got this letter from Paul, they may have had one or two other letters and maybe a gospel, maybe the book of Acts, doubtful, but maybe. and they had the Old Testament. That's it. So it's still necessary. There was a purpose for it. But that purpose, when the New Testament was given and people had the New Testament to read like you and I do, there's no reason for God to repeat Himself. He's already said it right here. He doesn't have to repeat things. And so that's why Paul said, unless that's the reason you're speaking in tongues, then it's really of no profit. I would then submit that in churches today where this speaking in tongues is going on, it's of no profit. We've got God's Word on our laps. That's why I've said if you ever do see speaking in tongues and prophesying and that sort of thing, I believe you would see it in places where they don't have a Bible. But we also saw that these signs were given. So as far as signs and wonders, that was given for the purpose of the Jews. And we studied that in the whole Book of Acts survey that we did in the last message. So after the transition of the Book of Acts and then the giving of the New Testament, the biblical gift of tongues became less useful in serving the original purpose as a sign until it finally ceased to have any purpose at all. And so you have to ask yourself a question as you're thinking about these things. Number one, there's no purpose for it, then why would God continue to do it? And number two, by coincidence, historically, it did cease. This phenomena, this practice, ceased. And for hundreds of years, only every once in a while would a group stand up and start doing these things of claiming to speak in tongues and prophesying and these sorts of things. And the Manichaeans and the Montanists and a few groups like that, but they were heretical groups. They weren't even true to the Bible on their beliefs and doctrines on other areas, important areas. Some of them taught that Jesus wasn't God. Others taught that you weren't saved by faith in the gospel. Others taught Jesus never even came in the flesh, the Gnostics. And those are the groups who tried to continue this practice throughout church history. But among Bible-believing Christians, this practice that we're reading about stopped. And it wasn't until the beginning of the 20th century that it all started up again. And what they don't tell you, if you go study Azusa Street and Kansas, where there's churches where this movement started in this last century, they were also involved in tarot card reading, mediums, and not prophesying, but actually fortune telling. Azusa Street. They don't ever tell you that. But what's interesting is there's a video, and if it didn't cost $120, I'd have it. But there's a series called God's Generals. And the guy who put that together is a charismatic. And he believes all this stuff. And yet, he documents every bit of this. And he just acts like he doesn't think there's anything wrong with it. Well, you know what? It only makes sense when God's doing something. You don't have to conjure something up. You don't have to try to make people get whipped up into a frenzy. God just does it. And that's what these folks do. Azusa Street, the Kansas revival and everything, they were whipping people up into a frenzy. Well, most of those people were very ignorant of Scripture, a lot of them illiterate. But the problem was, because of that, they didn't understand what was even right and wrong. And so, to them, anything spiritual was good. So they would speak in tongues on Sunday, and then they'd go down to the medium on Monday, and then they'd have the Ouija board out on Wednesday, and then they would, it was just a mixed up, horrible. And then that explains why now look at all the leaders, the big time leaders of the churches and denominations, and there's all this crazy stuff going on with them. Well, bad seed isn't going to produce good fruit. Now let's look at verse 18 in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18. And this first verse people love to quote, but then they neglect the rest of the text.
I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you.
Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue.
Let's just let that sink in for a second and understand what the message is there. And like I said, they'll quote verse 18, but they don't like to read the rest of it. Charlie, read verse 20.
Brethren, be not
children in understanding how PA and malice feed you children, but in understanding goodness.
He's saying what I just said when Cheryl read that. He's saying, now step back and think about this. Don't be children in understanding. Think about it. But when it comes to understanding, grow up. Be men. And that means maturity. Verse 21, Hannah.
In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all that they will not hear me, that the Lord.
For four tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe.
So, how much sense does it make to have a bunch of Christians standing around speaking in tongues to each other? None at all. Number one, there needs to be unbelieving Jews. Signs for a Jew. An unbelieving Jew. The people who saw speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost were unbelievers at the moment. Later on, when we saw the Samaritans, they were unbelievers. And later on, when we saw Cornelius and the folks in his household, unbelievers, with unbelieving Jews that had followed Peter from the synagogue, eyewitness. So if I stood up here and I just started speaking in tongues, and everybody in the place would say, what? What good did that do? What you just heard me do? What if my whole message, I just stood up here and, and 40 solid minutes of that. Wouldn't do you any good, would it? But prophesying, which is to speak forth the Word of God, which is what all preachers, true preachers, do. When we speak forth the Word of God in a language that is understood, there's profit. Going back to what Cheryl read, Paul said, I would rather speak 5 words as compared to 10,000, which I'd have to talk really fast, but in about 40 minutes, you'd probably get 10,000 words out of me in an unknown tongue. Paul said, I'd rather just stand up and say 5 words. It reminds me of the commercial on TV. Do you see the 1 second Super Bowl commercial? I don't support the brand or what they were selling, so I'm not going to mention who it was, but they were talking about how crazy it is to spend this kind of money on a Super Bowl ad. 1 second, you see this guy, and he goes, all right, and that's it. But that accomplished more than some of the commercials I saw that were 30 seconds, and I still don't know what they were advertising. It was as though they were speaking in tongues. I don't know what they were selling. How many of you have seen those advertisements where you don't even know what they're selling? Well, that dude did more with 2 words in 1 second than 30-second commercials that they spent how many millions for? I don't even know what the prices are. They're out of this world. All right, let's move on to verse 27.
If any man speak in any other tongue, let it be by 2 or at the most by 3 and that by course, and let one interpret.
But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
Now, up in verse 26, he says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So right here in the middle of their church services, they've pretty much got this show and tell thing going on. There's no order to it. There's confusion. And so Paul is telling the church in Corinth, who, again, is meeting before the New Testament was complete. Therefore, God is still speaking through people, His words that are still being put into writing. And He is telling that church during that time that as God is giving these gifts, it should be done in order. And if you can't do it 2 or 3 at a time, in other words, you know, if you got 200 people and everybody wants to speak in tongues, it, you know, could be a long night. And let it be done in order. And don't have chaos, because that's not God. God is not the author of chaos. And so really, if you just the rules that Paul has laid down thus far does away with 99% of what you see in the modern tongue-speaking, charismatic signs and wonders movement. Serenity, can you read 39? And Mariah, you read 40.
Wherefore, brethren, covet sweet prophecy, and forbid not to speak with tongues.
Let all things be done decently and in order.
Does he say to covet tongues? No. Covet to prophesy. Covet to speak the word of God. Now, again, we have it now. They didn't. They were given special revelation and doctrine by word of prophecy in that time to speak forth. Now we have it in a written form and we proclaim it forth, and that's prophesying in our day. That's how we do that. Now I just got to go back to verse 23 now. And in verse 23, Kayla, could you read that?
If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad?
Which means insane. And the answer is a well-known yes. All around the world, people with common sense are seeing this take place on television. And they're visiting with friends and family these churches. And it is destroying the witness. It is destroying the light of the gospel. It is giving the world place to blaspheme. As they mock and make fun of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ Himself, because to them they believe that is Christianity. Makes it hard for us to witness because they think you're one of those nutcases. Don't get mad at me. Paul said the world thinks they're nuts. 1 John 4:1. This is one I want you to highlight, and if you don't have a highlighter on you, just try to remember to get the highlighter pencil out and highlight this verse for future reference in 1 John 4:1. Now I have Cheryl read that.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
We are commanded. You remember 2 Timothy 2:15, we are commanded to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a commandment for all of us. We are commanded here to try the spirits, not to ignore them, not to cover your ears and be ignorant of them. And the word try means to test. To try means to, just like you would go in and try a court case in front of a judge. It's to put it to the test, and I don't mean light test. I mean you should really test it hard. And that's why I've told people, if anybody, this happened in church once, someone stood up and said they had a word in tongues. And I told them, we're going to record you. And we're going to test it. And whatever you say will be public. And they sat down. And I tell you, I've heard the stories from people that I believe, I trust, and they have done that. They've had people stand up, especially overseas. I heard this happen in Germany. And I can't remember the name of the preacher. But in Germany, on a military base where they had a church, and someone stood up and started speaking in tongues. And that just so happened to be somebody from another country who was there, who was bilingual or knew more than one language anyway. And right in the middle, while this person's speaking in tongues, they stand up and yell, "Blasphemy!" And the whole place got silent. And he said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You just spoke blasphemy." And the whole place just got rattled. They took it and had it checked by a linguist. And they didn't record it, if I understand. They had somebody writing down what they were saying, and the guy who charged him with blasphemy wrote down what he said, and they checked it. And that was, you better test the spirits. If you are doing things of a spiritual nature and it's not of God, guess who it's of? There is no gray area. Jesus said, you're either on one side or the other. I used to, go to churches where this stuff going on, and I'm telling you, I would get a bad feeling about it, a discernment. It's something not right about this. And I'm not telling you everybody who's involved in this is wicked. I don't want to make sure that's clear. But at the same time, I found a lot of wickedness involved in some of this. And so the question is, you want to roll the dice, so to speak, and take your chances and not know what's going on? And go to churches where this stuff's going on and it could be someone speaking under a demonic, devilish spirit? I just don't think that's something we ought to be doing. And the thing I just want to emphasize with this, and this is the worst thing about what we're talking about, Proverbs chapter 6, let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 6, it's Solomon's trilogy. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Those three were written by Solomon. And in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning of verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And he names a proud look, a lying tongue, which doesn't necessarily have anything to do with speaking in tongues, but it does if you're a fake, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, verse 18, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, which again would include those speaking in tongues falsely. And the last one, he that soweth discord among brethren. And this whole signs and wonders tongues thing has done more to divide Christians than anything else in the last 150 years. Sowing discord among brethren. I can take you to churches that were split right down the middle because one group came in and wanted everybody to start speaking in tongues, and when they wouldn't, they ripped the church up. Friendships have come to an end because somebody demands, insists that you should speak in tongues. I think the reason God says He hates that is because what the result is. It takes your eyes off of the main thing. A good saying is, keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners, not so Christians could gaggle in tongues. That's not the purpose of Jesus Christ and His ministry. That's not the purpose of the church. We're not to go around trying to convert people into this signs and wonders and tongues things. And I've known too many of these people. And they get so caught up in it, they don't even preach the gospel anymore. They don't even go out looking for sinners anymore. They go around looking for Christians that they can pull in. And that right there tells you there's something wrong with it. And there's something wrong with anything whenever it takes your eyes off of the main purpose of preaching the gospel and reaching lost souls. Too many Christians are on the shelf because they have lost their focus on the purpose of the believer in this life. We hope that our Christian listeners will be challenged to fall in love with Jesus Christ and to enjoy a personal relationship with Him, and that will then lead you to want to join the army of saints who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and not allowing Satan to blur your vision or detour you along the narrow way. You can preach the gospel without standing in a pulpit or preaching in front of crowds. Obviously, one way you can preach the gospel is to talk to lost loved ones face to face, one on one. But you can also give out gospel tracts, burn our messages onto CD and give them away, or simply send links to messages in your email. We encourage you to use your imagination and do whatever God leads you to do in order to share this wonderful gospel message of salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and the victory that we have in Jesus through the power of His resurrection. We invite you to take advantage of our free resources, including hundreds of MP3 audio messages. Simply go to kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find our MP3 messages, along with articles, links, and hours of free video content. We would also ask you to share our web address with a friend, and if you're listening on radio, tell others in the Central Ohio area to listen to our program Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 FM WHKC. This program was brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Thank you for listening.